man. Somebody ought to be shouting, because the Lord knows when we're right and the Lord knows when we're wrong. But the shout is, he loves us even when we're wrong. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, choir, for reminding us, amen, that the Lord loves us whether we're right or whether we're wrong. Now, for those of you that have been good all your life, that doesn't mean anything. But to those of us who are honest and know that we've been wrong more than we've been right, and the Lord still loves us. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give the choir a hand today. Amen. 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 That was a word I want to lift from the book of first mentions, the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. That one's not hard to find. Amen. That's right in the front of your Bible. Amen. Amen. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for the food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, who told you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Amen. I want to answer a question that many of you have been maybe asking yourselves by way of subject today. Why I sin? Why I sin? Why am I still struggling with this thing? I thought I had it under control. Why I sin? You only need to be a little sensitive to recognize that evil does exist. There is an evil spirit living in the world today, active And it's at work all over the world. The problem, the mystery of evil has plagued men since the beginning of time. Godly people have struggled with the problem of evil. People who mock the Bible, people who disparage the Bible, people who would do harm and injury to the God we love, tease and mock us by saying, "Where is God with all the evil that goes on in the world?" If there is a God and he's all powerful and he can do anything, why doesn't he do something about evil and he does not do anything about it, then he really does not love us. And if God loves us and evil still persists, the God doesn't have the power to do anything about it. That's what detractors would have us to believe, that circular argument that if God is good, then there wouldn't be any evil. And if evil exists, then God doesn't have all power. That argument and in and of itself is really an evil argument, because, brothers and sisters, evil does not make sense. Evil does not make sense, because sense has to do with what is good, and since evil is not good, evil cannot make sense. It does not make sense that a 16-year-old boy would take a gun to school and kill two of his classmates. It does not make sense that a man would leave Plano, Texas, drive all the way to El Paso, Texas, and shoot up a Walmart. It does not make sense. Evil does not make sense, because sense is a good word. God cannot be tempted with evil, because God is good, and evil does not make sense. Somebody ought to say something today. I didn't say God is nice. I said God is good. Wish I had a witness. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He's good in the morning. He's good when my heart is breaking. He's good when there are tears in my eyes. He's good when I lost my job. He's good when my children are acting a fool. He's good when I'm sick and can't get well. He's good when I'm old and feeble. No matter what my circumstance is, somebody ought to be a witness today that God is still good. Is there anybody here that's going through right now, and in the midst of what you're going through, you can still say God is good? Anybody here really know God is good? Maybe I'm in the wrong house today. Is there anybody here can stand up and declare, "Pastor, I'm going through hell right now, but I'm here to declare that God is still good. Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to make it from one day to the next, but I'm here to declare that in the midst of my suffering, in the midst of what I'm going through, I'll still declare that God is good." Can I get about five or six of y'all? I'll make seven myself to stand up and say that God is good. Evil persists because we are no good. I know when things happen in our lives that we don't make sense, and that don't make sense and cause us to be broken and bruised. Even the most Christian of us ask, "Where is God when my child dies? Where was God when I asked him to heal my mother? Where was God when I asked him to pick up the broken pieces of my life? Where is God?" And I'll tell you where he is. God is where he's always been. He's on the throne governing the affairs of men, because all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I know it looks dark, but if you just trust God, the bad stuff will start to make sense. The dark days will start to make sense. The tears will start to make sense, because God is just good all the time. The difference in Christians of today and Christians of yesterday is Christians of today ask God the wrong question. We ask God why, but the Christians that were before our generation, they asked God how long. They didn't question God's goodness. They just said, "How long before you show up and do something about my situation?" Because they knew he may not come when you want him. But if you keep faith in him, anybody here know that he's a God that'll show up on time? Anybody been down to your last dime, thought you wasn't going to make it, but God stepped in just at the nick of time? I tell you, he's an on-time God. Let me get to the text. I don't want to announce the text and not preach from it, because that would be charismatic malpractice. Now, the serpent was a little bit more subtle than any other creature the Lord God had made. Satan wraps himself in the form of a serpent and slithers uninvited into paradise and raises a question to one who is unsuspecting, because the devil will never come at you when you suspect him. Let me say that again. The devil will never come at you when you suspect him. He wraps sin in what is appealing to you, because sin wouldn't be worth the time it takes to do it if it wasn't attractive. Have I got a witness in here today? It does not make sense to sin if you're not going to enjoy what you're doing. Can I get somebody to be honest in here today and say, Pastor, I'm not in that sin anymore, but when I did it, I really enjoyed it. Can I get some honest folk in here today to say that I know God saved you. I know you don't do that anymore, but when you did it, you really enjoyed it. So the devil knows how to appeal to your ego, and he comes to the one that did not get the word. Y'all listen to me. He comes to the one that did not get the word. That's why you ought to stay in church. That's why you ought to study the word for yourself, because when you don't know the word, you're the one Satan will get in. Satan will get in that person in your life who has no word in them. I'm nervous about folk who say they know the Lord but never come to church, never come to Bible study, Sunday school. You don't have any word in you, and how many know that you need the word? Can I get some honest folk in here today to say the only reason I'm surviving what I'm surviving is because the word of God keeps me going and keeps me strong? Eve does not have the word. God gave the word to Adam. And rather than Eve, who is Adam's wife, trusting her husband's word. Don't y'all sisters get quiet on me. When I was reading the text, I heard some woman say, oh yeah, he did eat. Yeah, y'all got excited when Adam ate. Listen. You didn't think I heard you, but I heard you. But the woman who was the weaker vessel should have taken her husband's word. And if you don't have a husband, listen, you got a pastor, a male teacher, a godly man to preach to you the word. Listen, you ought to take the word from somebody that knows the Lord. Now, let me hasten to tell you, you can't take the word from everybody. Everybody ain't got the right word. You can't take the word from everybody. That's why the word says, try the spirit by the spirit. And everybody that come to church ain't got the word. Satan comes and he says, now did God say, or did your husband say? God said. And of course, Eve can't be sure. And listen, when you're not sure, you are subject to the devil's schemes. When you're uncertain, you're easy prey for the devil to swoop in and make you, number one, willfully reject God's authority. You've got to be sure of what you believe. And that's why the word says, study to show thyself approved. Now listen, I really think I give y'all some sound doctrine on Sunday morning. All of these preachers that preach give y'all some sound doctrine. And I don't bring in other preachers and pastors that don't have sound doctrine. I really believe that we're giving you the word of God. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to go home and study for yourself and make sure that what Pastor Turner told is the truth. God says you're free to eat of all the trees in the garden, but there's one that's prohibited. That's one tree I forbid you to eat from. And the very tree God forbid to eat from is the one Satan came and tempted them with. Because we always tempted by what we can't have. I think I said something there. We're always tempted by what we cannot have. A friend of mine recently got married and said, Reverend, he said, while I was single, nobody was interested in me. He said, I couldn't buy a date. He said, even on the dating websites, nobody answered my ass. But as soon as I got married, looked like they're coming out of the woodwork. Listen, we're always tempted by what we can't have. Can I get a witness in here today? Y'all looking holy and sanctimonious. Y'all may as well be honest in here today. You know, every now and then, one of them fellas that walk by that's real fly, and you find yourself looking when you ought not be looking. And every now and then, one of them fine sisters walk around the offering table, and I got to put my head down because we're tempted by what we cannot. Can we be real up in here today? What we cannot have. Now, the devil knows what you like. And if liquor is not your temptation, he's not going to tempt you with liquor. He knows that if women or men is not your temptation, he's not going to bother you with that. But Satan does know what will get your attention. He does know what will make you take a second look. And don't you be sitting here looking like you so holy that you're above this and that can't happen to you because, listen, I know I ain't. Satan knows what you like. And I tell you all the time, one of my favorite sayings here at my Mariah is, whatever you wear, it's just beneath the surface. And if you scratch it hard enough, it'll come up again. Can I get a witness in here today? Is there anybody know that if you catch me on the wrong day, I'll speak in tongues, but it won't be the tongues of the Lord? Catch me on the wrong day, you'll hear some things come out of my mouth that ought not come out of my mouth, because whatever you were is just beneath. Medical profession says that if you've ever had chicken pox, that you never get rid of them, that they're always in your system. Consequently, older people sometimes develop shingles based upon the fact they had chicken pox. And you thought when you were a little kid, because the old folks said if you get it once, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You won't get it again. But listen, it's still there. And I need to hasten you today. Don't get beside yourself and don't get the big head, because whatever you were, it's still there. I got a first cousin, and I told you all before, when I was with my grandmother, I didn't have brothers and sisters, so my first cousins were like, y'all seen them come here, and we're the same age, and we're just like, I mean, we're so close that one couldn't fall out of the bed for the other one. And he's been struggling with drug and alcohol addiction now for, I don't know, 20, 25 years here. Abandoning his children, just in and out of this and in and out of that. And so he was recently in Shreveport in rehab. Went through a 6-week rehab, and I talked to him on the phone, and I said, now David, I hope when you get out of here, you're going to leave that alcohol alone. I said, because you understand you're an alcoholic. And he said, man, he said, listen, I'm not going to promise you I'm not going to have a little drink every now and then. He said, because I feel like I can. I said, no, David, you're not strong enough. Yeah. I said, either you're going to leave it alone altogether, or it's going to get the grip on you. Well, he was released a couple of months ago, and his brother went to the trouble of buying him a truck, putting new tires on it, getting him ready, trying to help him because he was supposed to come home and get the truck, go back to rehab and be there for the next year. Well, they gave him the truck, didn't stand for 2 days, came back home looking a little worn, and his mother told him, now, David, if you're not going to act right, you got to get out of here. If you're not going back to rehab, you got to get out of here. So he left. So nobody's heard from him for 3-4 weeks. Got a call Friday from his brother, say, Pat, I found David. Said a letter came to mama's house, and it was from a towing company. His truck was towed last Saturday in Mangum, which is in Richland Parish. It was towed last Saturday, he said, and I called, and he's in the Richland Parish jail for driving under the influence, open container, and improper lane change, second DWI. And he didn't understand that whatever he was or whatever he thought he had conquered was still there. And some of us are strong enough that what we used to be, we can still go around that thing and it not get the best of us. But there are some of us who are not that strong. You've got to separate yourself from some people and some things that you used to do, because whatever you were is still there. And given the opportunity, we'll revert back to whatever it was we thought we were delivered from. And I wish I had somebody that was honest enough about your sin problem to help me talk about how you have willfully rejected God's authority. You know what was the right thing to do, you just didn't have it in you to do it. Y'all just said it. You know whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. Paul said, not just sometimes, but every time I desire to do good. Evil, I would have a witness in here, is always present. The good that I would do, I find myself not doing. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. Oh, wretched man am I. I cannot count how many times I knew the truth but didn't act on the truth. Can't count how many times I knew God's authority, but I rejected it because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, because the flesh always wants to please itself. I see you hiding behind someone. I see y'all hiding behind someone. You holier than thou, hypocrite. You, if you ain't doing it now, you have done it. And sometimes when you can't do it anymore, you still want to do it. I wish I had a witness in here, because many times we say, I don't do the things I used to do anymore. You don't do them because you can't do them. You still got the thought in your mind. You still want to do it. And the Bible says, so a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So even if you hadn't done it, if you thought about it, but thank God when I ask him for his power, he holds me and makes me do right, because I can't do right in my flesh. That's why no flesh can glory in God's presence. All have sinned. Did y'all hear what I said? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's the willful rejection of God's authority. But secondly, it's a blatant distrust of God's goodness. Devil told Eve, surely you won't die. God said, God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be open and you will become like a God. Small g. Now, God is good, and if he said don't eat from this tree, he has a good reason, because God is good. God made and designed sex for us, but God has put parameters on it for a good reason. Sex is between a man and a woman. Notice I said between a man and a woman. It's good, but when the man goes outside, when the woman goes outside of the man that God gave him, sex becomes sin. And with sin comes consequences. Even your third and fourth generation, and some mess that's going on in your life right now, is not bearing a cross, it's reaping a cross. You sowed some wild oats. You did some bad stuff, and now it's coming back to haunt you. Talking about, why is God letting this happen to me? Think about 30 years ago. When the Lord was trying to talk to you, when the Lord was trying to get you to quit acting a fool, you coming in at 4 o'clock in the morning. And now you can hardly get up at 4 in the afternoon. You blaming it on Father Time and old age. No, you were acting a fool when you were younger, and you're paying for it right now. My grandmama used to tell me, because I've never been one that likes to wear coats, and mama would tell me, boy, you better put a coat on. You can't buck this weather. She said, you may do it now, but when you get older, you're going to wish you had put a coat on. And there's some of us in here tonight wish we could go back and change some things that we were doing in our younger years. And some of what we're suffering from now is not about what you did now. It's what you did years ago. And every time I want to feel sorry for myself and start complaining about what the devil is doing to me, I remember when I was a Christian and still disobeying God. I'm talking about since I've been born again, since I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, since I've been redeemed, since my name was written on the church roll, I disobeyed God. If I had 5 or 6 more honest people in here today, we could have church, because if the truth be told, we really don't have any business being in the Lord's house today. If the Lord were a just God, if the Lord gave us what we rightly deserve, none of us. The stuff I did, I should have been dead and sleeping in my grave. When I think about the crazy stuff I did, and the Lord kept me alive, it was nothing but the grace. Not all the folk can't shout right here are folk who had never been a fool. I don't mean to insult anybody, but are there any fools in the house like me today? When you look back at what you did and you're still here, you can shout that it was the grace of God, nothing but God's amazing grace. I wish I had some fools in here that know you were a fool, know you acted like a fool and lived like a fool. But thank God his grace gave you another chance. The text says that when she saw that the tree was good for food and she could make one wise, she ate it. Notice when she ate it, nothing happened, because she was not given headship. Y'all follow me? Nothing happened when Eve ate it, because God did not give her the instructions. And that's why your wife takes your last name. Because men are her spiritual headship. I wish I had more men in here today to help me out. Listen, I got a problem with women who marry and then want to keep their last name. That's my name. I want to keep my name. No, if you get married according to the Bible, you come under your husband's authority and you assume his name, because he's now taking responsibility for you. Sasha don't belong to Sister Dylan no more. She belongs to Jeffrey. Sister Smith, you don't belong to your daddy no more. You belong to Will. Sister Harris, after 50-some years, you don't belong to your mom and daddy no more. You belong to Brother Johnny. Your dad is no longer in charge of you. Your husband is in charge of you. I've seen it. They write their name / their married name. Take that hyphen out of your name. Your husband assumes the responsibility. Now let me. Let me clarify that, because I see some of these fellas sticking their chest out right about now. Let me help out, Brother Love. Let me clarify that. Now, that does not mean he owns you. But he is responsible for you. Now, Now, I've talked to the ladies. Now, let me talk to the men for a minute. A real man assumes responsibility. Now, the only way a woman can respect you and your name is if you go to work, if you pay the bills. Do I have a witness in here today? Listen, if you ain't working, if you ain't paying no bills, y'all not getting no respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's what it means to me. Respect is paying the bills. Respect is getting up and going to work every morning. Listen, it used to be a time where we had pretty women and hardworking men. Now we got pretty men and hardworking women. I don't like the society that we have. You can't go around here pulling up your pants and popping your suspensors, talking about I'm the man in this house and the lights turned off. You can't respect me. I'm the only man and the icebox is empty. How many know as a man, you've got to earn the respect of your woman. When Eve ate, nothing happened because she was not in charge. When she gave it to the husband, and he foolishly, without thinking, opened his mouth and ate what God forbid. Adam ate chaos, disorder, death, disease, pestilence, evil, and wickedness, because God now knows that Adam has sinned. Bible said they sold fig leaves to cover their nakedness. Sin always starts in the heart. It starts with the desire for what God prohibits. Then it leaves your heart. It goes to your head. When once it gets in your head that you want what you can't have, you rationalize how you're going to get it in your head. And once you have made sin make sense in your head by desiring what you can't have in your heart, then your hand reaches out to grab what God has forbidden. And once you've gotten in your hand what God has forbidden because you rationalize in your head what's desired in your heart, you've ruined your relationship. Because when they sold those fig leaves together, something happened. He comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and God said, Adam! Notice he didn't call Eve. Adam! Not Eve. He's not looking for Eve because Eve is not in charge. Adam! Where are you? And understand, up until this point, they had a perfect relationship. Every day, God would come walking in the garden, and Adam would be there waiting. They had a usual meeting spot, but Adam was not there. Adam is embarrassed. He's ashamed, because sin ought to make you feel shame. That's what I don't understand, how some of you can do what you do and never feel shame about it. How some of you can come to church and never speak to your fellow man and feel good about it. How can you sin? Repentance is godly sorrow. And if you're a Christian, sin ought to make you feel ashamed. You better check your relationship. Adam, where art thou? He said, I was hiding because I was naked. God said, you were naked yesterday. Who told you? Have you been eating off that tree I told you not to eat from? Adam said, that woman. It ain't my fault. And listen, brothers, if you got to be honest in here, women can make us do some things we don't want to do. Come on, I need some honest brothers in here today. Y'all know y'all said y'all wasn't going to charge that credit card no more. But she said, baby, I just got to. Women can make you do some things you really don't. Am I honest, brother? They can make you do some stuff. Adam said it was that woman. She gave it to me and I ate it. And the woman said, well, the devil made me do it. God, in his mercy, removes their fig leaves, sacrifices an animal, sheds innocent blood to make for them a covering. I've got to close now, but if I ended this sermon now, it would be bad news that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. That's terrible news. That sin came into the world, that would be terrible news, that Satan came and tempted our first parents. That would be a dreadful way to end the sermon. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the gospel is preached. The seed of the woman shall crush the head of a serpent, and the serpent shall bruise his heel. Y'all gonna help me close this, aren't you? The devil thought he had won. The devil thought he had gotten the upper hand. But aren't you glad that the devil does not have the last word? We got in trouble in the garden. God got us out of trouble in another garden. We got in trouble with a woman named Eve. God got us out of trouble with a woman named Mary. Got in trouble with a man named Adam. But I'm glad that Jesus got us out of trouble with a man named Jesus. Don't have to shed blood anymore. Don't have to shed the blood of animals, because one Friday, oh Lord, on a hill called Calvary, he shed his blood for you and I. Oh, I've got to close here today, but I heard a songwriter say, what can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Another one said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. All that sin, our guilty sin, was washed away. Is there anybody here that's glad for the blood of Jesus? Anybody here glad that he died? But that's not the end of the story. One Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Anybody glad today for the blood of Jesus? What can wash away my sins? Make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. If you're here today, and maybe you've been caught in a sin, maybe you've been struggling with a sin, the only way you can be released today is to give that sin to the Lord. He says, take my yoke, take my burden upon you, my yoke upon you. My burden is light. Whatever your burden is today, you ought to bring it to the Lord. If you're here today, you can come by letter, Christian Experience, as a candidate for baptism. Would you come?